is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com every night till 10 o'clock on the West Coast. That is the El Pacifico side of things, and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. And we're with you a variety of ways on the radio, on iTunes, or on TuneIn. We're probably on iTunes somewhere. On TuneIn, and we're also, of course, live streaming the audio for free or the video cast for our subscription BSPs at philhendryshow.com. Our daily podcast is a classic podcast that we bring from our archives, and that's available each and every day. We've got like 306 classic podcasts that we've done, and those are all available for you there on our website, or by way of iTunes if you have a subscription to our website. 306 classics that are drawn from the full shows that we also have in our archives, something like well over 5,000 hours of audio.
And you've decided now that it is more than 5,000 hours. You were saying almost 5,000. Now you think it's almost 10,000.
Well, you said that you had a... did you say that you spread something? Because I just...
spreadsheet, yeah. As a matter of fact, speaking of spread, did we pick him up, Robert?
Yeah, we picked up Mr. Santos just moments ago at a rendezvous point. That's a 7-Eleven down there on Rosecrans.
Great. So you don't have to say where. So, Jay, come on in and sit down, because I think of you, Jay, every time somebody talks about spread.
Well, that's understandable, Mr. Henry. The spread is a...
speak up into the microphone there.
All right. That is understandable. The spread is something that we utilize in the Citizens Auxiliary Police. When we tell you to spread, and I'm sure, General, you understand, and any punk, and I don't mean you necessarily, Bud, but if we come up against any punk... any punk, you know, dirty punk that thinks he's going to tell us what to do, then at that time, we will then at that time, there and then, say, you got spread.
Well, what does spread mean?
It just means put your hands up on a wall, put your feet up on a wall,
put your feet up on the wall?
I'm sorry. I was thinking, probably I should not say this, but I was thinking some sort of impure thoughts at that time.
Why is that?
Well, I'm sorry, Ms. Gray. Well, I said put your feet up on a wall. I was thinking of some other kind of...
yeah, you're talking about something dirty.
All right, Bud, let's be nice to our guest. So spread is basically assume the position.
Right, but we don't like to say assume the position because we did get into some problems with that early on with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. If you say assume the position, there are a few people are probably going to take that the wrong way. I know General Shaw, you had remarked to me that if you're talking to elderly men, it could be dangerous.
Well, elderly men are particularly sensitive to anybody trying to push them around because they think that they're getting pushed around because people think they're punks, a dirty little punk that you can push around, just as you were saying. And that's not the way it is for a lot of guys, especially guys like me.
I understand that. So I don't want to say to an elderly man or older guy, go ahead, assume the position, because he's going to take that as a challenge.
Yeah, that's right. He'll take that as a challenge, and you'll be minus a head when you go home to your wife's cooking and the tender embraces of your children in the evening. I'm sure you understand.
I totally do understand. So what we did, Phil...
God, General.
Well, I'm making this very clear on behalf of a lot of guys. Don't you ever look at me and say, assume the position. That's all I'm saying.
I understand that. So, Phil, what I said to my guys then was what we need to do is probably what we want to try to do is switch that around a little bit and we'll call it just a spread.
So before that it was assume the position, which was what common cop talk, right?
I would say that's common cop talk. That's absolutely right. And I had mentioned that to Terry Brando, who's a member of Los Angeles Police Department, who is the brother-in-law of my friend Jerry's wife. And when he looked at me, I said, hey, so let me ask something, Terry. You're a cop, I'm a cop.
Wait, what did you said you're a cop?
I said, you're a cop, I'm a cop. And that's when he said to me, you may be law enforcement, and so am I, but you are not a cop. And I said, boy, that hurts, that stings. And then I realized he was quoting Bobby De Niro from Copland, and it really stung. It really sat home then.
Really? It really hit home then, huh, Santos?
Yes, it did, General.
Well, you're not a cop, and you're not even law enforcement. You are a...
well, Phil, let's not do that now.
Come on, Mr. Henry.
What do we not do what now? I'm just saying the service that you provide, Jay, is a valuable service as far as it goes.
You are a volunteer street patrol. Jay, I know you don't like being called a neighborhood watch, right?
We are not neighborhood watch. I will not be. I don't have nobody call me that. All right, in a long time. Last guy called me neighborhood watch. I gave him, I said, let me tell you something right now. You're lucky that my wife's with me and
so your wife was there.
Well, she wasn't there, but I made it seem like she was in the store.
Okay.
And so I'm trying to say to you that while we are a neighborhood, we are a street patrol, as Margaret said. I want people to think more than that. I want people to think we are a cop, and we're going to take care of business.
Well, but you are not a cop. As the officer said, you may be law enforcement, and so am I, but you're no cop.
All right, I think we've quoted De Niro from Copland enough, all right?
Well, I think it's a good line.
All right, and I think in the film Copland, when he said that to Sylvester Stallone's character, he was trying to motivate Stallone. He was trying to say, you know, you are the chief of, you're the sheriff in a town that has a lot of crooked cops living in it. They're all New York City police officers. They live here in New Jersey. They're beyond the reach of internal affairs, but you can help me. And he was saying to him, and in so doing, then you'll be a real cop. Because right now, all you're doing is getting cats out of trees and controlling the church traffic.
Well, I think that's your interpretation.
No, I think Phil interpreted that very well. That's how I read that as well.
Well, I didn't. I thought that what De Niro was saying to him was that I may be law enforcement, and so am I, but you are not a cop.
I may be law enforcement, and so am I.
Yes.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand what you think. You think he was just dismissing the guy out of hand, and there was no redeeming quality at all to Sylvester Stallone, and he just said that.
Yes, and when he said, I know you are, but so am I, he didn't say, I know you are, but I'm sorry.
No, he didn't say, what are you...
Yeah, you gotta get the line right, General, from the movie to Copland.
General, you know the film Copland. You've been quoting it.
I know the film Copland. When De Niro looks at Stallone and says, I know I am, but what are you? No, he doesn't.
When De Niro looks at Stallone.
All right, Phil, don't get impatient. I'm trying to remember.
When De Niro looks at Stallone.
Phil, I know that movie. De Niro says to Stallone, I may be a cop, and so are you, but I am not law enforcement.
No, no.
I'm sorry. You're right.
Phil, let Phil do it, because he's the only one that it appears that has a functioning brain tonight.
Oh, hold on.
No, I'll do it. In the scene.
Now, wait a minute.
Hold on. In the scene, when De Niro comes to see Stallone's character, and he wants him to help him nail these crooked cops that live there in Garrison, New Jersey, because Stallone is the sheriff, and Mo, whatever the hell the character is.
Who's Mo?
The guy that De Niro plays. He can't touch them because he's internal affairs at the New York City Police. So he says to Stallone, I need your help. I have something that you can do to help me. You can watch these cops for me because you may be law enforcement, and so am I, but you're not a cop because Stallone, remember, wanted to be in the NYPD.
Yeah, that's right, Mr. Ernest. They totally forgot about that. He wanted to be on the New York City Police.
Yes, Stallone's character wanted to be in the New York City Police. He couldn't because his eardrum had been pierced when he was saving that girl in the river.
Well, is that why he wasn't law enforcement and so am I?
Is that why he wasn't law enforcement?
I'm sorry. Is that why he wasn't a cop?
That's why he wasn't NYPD, because he failed his physical because he had a punctured eardrum. And he always wanted to be New York City Police. So here comes De Niro's character saying to him, I have a redeeming moment for you now. You can be a cop. You can help me if you'll keep an eye on these guys. Because right now, all you're doing is getting cats out of trees. Remember what he said? And you're controlling the church traffic, and you ain't doing anything. That's what he said.
And that's when he said, I know you are, but so am I. No.
You know something, General? Either you need to lay down or the rest of us do, because you're really starting to piss me off.
Well, never mind, General. We'll be back here in just a moment on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and let's just get off of this kick all together, if you don't mind, about I know I am, but what are you? It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Jay Santos continuing with us here as we talk about some of the brush fires that we've had here in the city over the past 24 hours. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police joining us in studio as we are bringing in by way of the car service that we have tonight. Who is providing car service, Robert?
Well, right now, it's my cousin.
We don't have a company doing this?
No, it's my cousin's limo.
Your cousin's limo?
Yeah, come on, man. I mean, don't you have no company name?
My cousin's limo, man. Don't worry about it.
All right, well, Jay, was it a good ride?
Yeah, it was
totally good, and we're very much appreciative of Robert and everybody in the family there to bring us over.
All right, so, Jay, we're talking with you here about the fires. Let's talk about what you, with the Citizens Auxiliary Police, what you do when we have these brush fires in the area. Now, there's a lot of different, as Nikki and I were talking, you know, in wherever you live in America, there is its own unique, if you will, natural challenge. It may be unique to the area. It may be something that's common to most of the country. But we have, for instance, the tornadoes. We have the hurricanes. These are all specific to areas. We have flooding. It seems like in the springtime after can you imagine what the flooding's going to be like this year?
Why is that?
Because of the snowfall, you know.
Oh, my God, you're right. All of that snow.
I'm not sure I understand, Mr. Henry, but I can tell you that...
Wait. You know what? With all of that snow, it's going to melt.
I understand that, yeah.
So that means it's melting into rivers, and the rivers rise. And when the rivers rise, guess what you get?
Well, I understand you do have flooding in a lot of these areas, whether it is Missouri River or the Ohio River. And certainly we all remember as kids, if you grew up... I grew up in the Baltimore, Maryland area, as well as western Pennsylvania. So we had a Susquehanna River. We had an Allegheny River. We had a Shenandoah.
Potomac.
We had a Potomac, or however it's called.
Potomac?
That's right, yeah, the Potomac. We had the Little Greasy Creek.
Now, what is Little Greasy Creek?
That's just one of the many rivers.
I've never heard of that.
It doesn't mean it doesn't exist. You start looking at me like I'm making stuff up, you know.
I've never heard it. So was this local to where you grew up?
Yeah, it's local in my area. But so we had that. Then if you live, then there's earthquakes out where here in California have earthquakes. So there's always a challenge. And what we try to foresee what that challenge is going to be. And I'll tell you, the fires took us completely by surprise, as they did the fire department. You never really think about a fire. I mean, yeah, you do, but not now. I was totally blown away, you know, by it.
Well, what were you, with the fire right now?
Why would you be blown away by, it's been hot, it's been dry.
Right. But I just, you know, you don't think fire. I thought it would start to rain and there'd be a lot of mud. I thought that all of a sudden there'd be fog or some kind of deal like that with the cold air. If you have cold air meeting hot air, I thought maybe you'd do that.
But so you were blown away by the fire.
The fire, I think, blew air. Are you kidding me? What are you talking about, a fire? Remember my wife called me, and she said, Jay, you better get over to the substation because Sub-Commander Gleason is going ape. He's crawling wall like a monkey. And I said, what's going on with him? She said, because there's fire. And I said, what? I didn't quite understand.
Wait. Let me interrupt you for a minute. What do you mean you didn't understand there'd be fire?
What are you talking about, Santos?
I'll do this.
I didn't understand. Fire is not something you readily think of when you think of California. I mean, yeah, you do.
Fire is the number, I would say, is the number one natural disaster in California, outside of earthquakes.
No, I would disagree with that. I think the number one natural disaster in California is, we're still waiting on it, and that's going to be the tsunami after a major earthquake, if we get the big eight. You know, if we roll eights, we roll a nine, you know.
No, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean if we roll an eight?
Are you talking about the Richter scale, my friend?
Yes, sir, I am, General.
Well, then have a little respect, because that scares the living hell out of a lot like me. I like to think that I've got guts to burn, but when it comes to earthquakes, I'm nothing but a little bitch. And I'm sorry to put it that way.
I'm sorry, General. I didn't mean to scare you.
Well,
are you all right, General?
Yes.
You're scared, huh?
I get scared of earthquakes, yes. I am brave in every other capacity. But if an earthquake ever strikes in the middle of battle, I'm nothing but a little girl under a bed.
Well, my hat is off to you, General, for admitting that. I will tell you that I don't think anyone really expects fire. I think, number one, like I said, a tsunami.
What do you mean a tsunami, man? Are you talking about a tsunami?
God, what are you getting all...
Phil, relax.
No, I'm not going to relax. I'm listening to this guy now for a half hour. You haven't said a thing. You're talking about...
Let me ask that thing. I'd come in here on a limousine.
That's great. You came in by way of our limousine to sit down and to talk about whatever it is you're going to talk about, and I'm not sure. You're saying a tsunami. You mean a tsunami? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, the tsunami. You remember a tsunami hit Japan? Oh, wow. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I did hear about that, Jay. I heard about that. Yes, I did. Uh-huh. But if you say that the number one threat, the number one natural disaster threat in California is a tsunami as the result of an earthquake, I would say to you, we've had far more fires. We've had far more flooding damage, far more mudslide damage, and which is resultant from the fires that burn off all that ground cover, than we've ever had in terms of the real threat of earthquake, or as you call it, a tsunami. Okay?
Or whatever you call it. I mean, you know.
Miss Emily, no sense in holding his feet to the fire on that. Nobody know how to pronounce that.
Yeah.
I do. Tsunami.
Yeah, but there's a T in it.
It doesn't matter, you moron. You don't pronounce the T. It's tsunami. Tsunami.
Yeah.
Tsunami. Learn it.
Okay, bud. General?
I know it's called a tsunami. I just don't know what this brain-dead idiot's trying to say when he says that he doesn't understand what fire is.
I understand what fire is. It just never occurred to me. That's number one.
You live in California. You're the member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. You're out here to try to, quote, save lives, and it never occurred to you that fires are really serious out here.
No. And again, I would hasten to add, Mr. Henry, that, yeah, there's a bad fire, but it took everybody by surprise. I'm standing around trying to find it with both hands. I scrambled up as many of my subcommanders as I could in the Glendora area, and we were looking around, went to police, said, okay, what can we do? You know, what's going on around here? And he said, there's a fire, and we're getting the fire trucks in here now. Could you move your car? And I said, well, okay, we'll move our car, but what do you need? What do you need? I got what you need. I got what you want. You know, and
all right. So instead of just standing there, or in addition to standing there and babbling at the car.
I wasn't babbling, Mr. Henry.
Well, it sounds like that's what you were doing. You're standing there babbling to some cop. What can I do? How can I help? He's telling you to move your cars. What else did you do?
What else we did, Mr. Henry, is we told people to slow it down. We didn't want to see nobody chickening out. And a lot of times what happens when you do have fire is you don't want to have a chicken out factor. Now, I try to explain this to people and understand. California is in the eye of the media right now when it comes to this fire. If we're out there going chicken and getting yellow and chickening out, that is going to be reflective. So the first thing I say is, okay, do you really have to leave? So, well, he told us to evacuate. I'll say, okay, but do you really feel like you need to leave? You want to go back up there, but the one thing you don't want to do is look like you're chicken, okay? As I call it, chicken out.
What? What are you chicken out, man? If they told you to leave.
That's about the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Well, it doesn't surprise me. I come on this program, I get abused.
Jay, nobody's trying to abuse you, man. The chicken out factor, meaning that the country will turn on the news.
Look, Phil, don't sit there and talk to me like you're a psychiatrist and I'm just one more guy with a big scar across the front of a bald head, like you just went in and took out a piece of my brain so I'd calm down. And you're trying to tell me that I'm nuts.
No. I'm not. I'm asking you, in all honesty, do you think it matters whether the rest of the country sees us as chicken or not? If we got to get out of these fire areas, we got to get out of these fire areas. And it doesn't make any difference if it's the chicken out factor. And I'm not looking at you as if you got a bald head with a scar across the top of it, like somebody just...
Man.
You owe an apology, by the way, to my brother-in-law, because that's exactly... He has a bald head with a scar across the front of it and a few other scars. He's missing one of his eyes. And he's missing a couple of his teeth, and he still could tear you in half, Jay, with one hand while eating breakfast with the other. Thank you.
So that I will take that as a threat then, Ms. Gray. Ms. Gray?
Thank you.
Ms. Gray, did she threaten me?
I don't know, Jay, but we have to take a break now. Thank you very much for being with us. And we certainly do feel better that you're out there, you know, taking care of biz and all that baloney. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com. And what is this, bud? Let's, you know. All right, anyway, we'll be right back. Thank you, Jay. Appreciate it.
Well, I just want to know, she called me chicken or not?
She didn't call you chicken. You're calling everybody else chicken. We'll be right back.
Did you call me chicken?
I didn't call you chicken. I said, you know, you bugged me.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. We've been sitting here listening to just this raucous blues music. And, okay, so let's turn that stuff down. And I've been actually just checking into the various news sources that we have on the fire, the raging wildfires in L.A. Apparently, if I'm reading this right, the firefight continues in the 1,700-acre Colby Fire blaze, 30% contained. All right, so I don't see a whole lot of panic going on. And I'm getting this off a L.A. site.
Well, KTLA Channel 5, I think, is very, very reliable. I don't like to go with any of these national sources.
What about the L.A. Times?
The L.A. Times would be local, don't you think?
Yeah, well, the L.A. Times, they have a lot of national stuff.
I know they've got a lot of national stuff, but I'm talking about the local news is what you want.
All right, well, according to Channel 5 here in Los Angeles, which does have a very good local news bureau, hundreds of firefighters are battling a wildfire Thursday in the San Gabriel Mountains north of Glendora that quickly spread to 1,700 acres. Now, I don't see that number increasing. I believe that was the acreage that they were giving early on. The Colby Fire destroyed 5 homes, damaged 17 other structures after breaking out at approximately 5:50 this morning. The blaze 30% contained by 4:30 this afternoon. Helicopters, and it, right now here on the West Coast, is 9:30, so that was, you know, 5 hours ago. Helicopters with night vision goggles were set to work overnight in support of firefighters on the ground and to protect homes and people. Let me tell you some of these guys that are the cats that are flying around up there. You see a lot of choppers, and the reason why you see the helicopters is they're looking for hot spots.
But they have got the water and everything.
They do have the water. They are carrying some of them. Most of that, though, they're carried by airplanes, I should say, not helicopters. The helicopters, though, they are looking for other hotspots because, as has been mentioned on the show, you know, if you see one hotspot, you see it's possible that you'll see other hotspots. So we want to thank Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police for being with us here. They got a picture here, the mugshot of these three guys.
Boy, look at these three guys. Look like three of the greasiest creeps I've ever seen.
Now, hold on for a minute. It's kind of it's a drag because it's not a drag. I mean, I'm glad that these men have been booked and that they will, you know, face some judgment. But here's the thing. These firebugs, man, these psychopathic firebugs, these individuals who, like a serial murderer, or like any serial criminal that commits a crime for the power that it gives him or her, that's what these firebugs are, and these are the guys that you really got to look out for. These three men made a mistake that they're going to pay for, and they turned themselves into the police, and they've owned up to their culpability. I'm not saying that these guys ought to get some kind of brownie points, and I'm not saying that, but the fact is the real dangerous people out there when it comes to fires are these arsonists who intentionally start fires to take lives, to destroy as much property as they possibly can. And the whole reason for that is a control issue that they have. Most of these cats are losers. You know, they live in a world where they are probably not noticed. They don't have a job that they think is worthy of them. They don't have a position in life that they think is worthy of them. They got a naggy-ass wife. They got a bunch of kids that are screaming and yelling. They're, you know, the world doesn't recognize their genius and their marvelousness. They should be farther along than they are, and, you know, and so it goes. And that's just a symptom of how jacked up these people are mentally. So in order to control the world, you know.
Well, what makes you the big expert on this?
I've done a lot of reading on this stuff. I've done a lot of studying on this stuff.
Yeah, it doesn't make you not an expert or nothing.
Well, I think I've got to agree with them. You're just another jackass with an opinion.
Absolutely. And I'm proud to be another jackass with an opinion. But my opinion is backed up with information. Okay?
Yeah, but Phil, when you say that and you point your finger in the air like you're some Bible thumper, it really gives me the creeps.
What are you talking about, put my finger in the air?
Right when you said, I study, you put your finger in the air like you're some Bible-banging creep.
Excuse me.
That's better. Just, you know, keep your hands down at your side. Don't put them toward me.
What is it with you anyway, huh?
Yeah, she's all weird.
I'm not weird. I'm feeling very vulnerable.
Why?
I don't know. All of you people tonight, you look grimy and creepy.
Oh, get out of here, will you? Go, Margaret, why don't you split if it's bugging you so much?
It's not bugging me that much.
Anyway, these three guys, Stephen Aguirre, Clifford Eugene Henry, and Jonathan Carl Jarrell are shown in their booking photos here. And these three guys are, you know, they're going to be standing tall before the man. Now, the firebugs, though, and did you see the one that we saw the other night?
Yeah, that guy was messed up, man.
Well, what was it?
This guy was a firefighter, and he set fires.
Yeah, this guy that they were talking about on the news, this guy was a pretty famous here in the L.A. area at some point. I forget the year we're talking about, but he was a fireman.
And he was starting fires.
Just like that lady in the Rocky Mountains in Colorado. Wasn't she a...
She was a park ranger.
Yeah, she was a park ranger. And she needed some attention, and she needed some love, and she wanted people to pay attention to her big, fat, stupid ass. So she starts a fire.
Phil, that is very sexist.
Are you kidding me? She started a fire that killed wildlife. I think she even killed somebody. And you're worried about the fact that I called her a fat ass?
There's no need to go there.
Are you nuts or something? Deadly started a fire.
I know, that killed a bear, and what else?
Hey, Margaret, don't make a joke out of it, okay?
Well, you're calling her a fat ass.
She was a fat ass. And I'll still say she's a... Hey, all the protections of chivalry and fine gentlemanly manners fall to the wayside when you go out and set a fire that takes people's lives. I'm sorry, but I cannot abide that.
Are you sure it killed people and not just a bear?
What if it killed a bear? You know what? I'm not going to talk to you about it, okay?
You just don't want to talk about it.
I'm not going to talk to you about it. Stupid. The three suspects were being held at the Glendora City Jail in lieu of $20,000 bail.
What's that mean?
What's what mean?
In lieu.
Until they post bail. They're being held until they post bail. Once they post bail, and I believe they did make bail between this report and now, so they're out.
Well, one of these guys is homeless, and he posted $20,000 in bail.
Yeah, apparently all you need is 10%. Maybe the other guys came up with the money for him. The three suspects, the damage from the fire has not yet been estimated. Multiple helicopters have been deployed to the scene, and two Super Scooper tanker planes had made water drops from overhead. That was the guy, Steve Bozell, by the way. Do we have Steve Bozell in the green room?
I think we picked up Mr. Bozell, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the football.
I know that, but I want to find out from Bozell about those. Remember those Super Scoopers that were out near his property?
Oh, that clown, and he thought they were BAing his daughter.
Hey, Steve, come on in. How you doing?
I'm good.
I'm going to go over to microphone two there.
Yeah. How you doing? I'm doing real good, man. You getting ready for the weekend?
Yeah, I'm all ready for it.
Yeah, I hope you are, because, man, it's going to be some kind of... How you doing, Phil?
How you doing?
Ms. Gray?
Hello, Steve.
Hey, General.
Mr. Bozell, how are you? Good to meet you. Good to be with you again.
Yes, sir.
So, Steve, we're talking about your property out there in Corona.
Yeah.
And the Super Scoopers.
Yeah, well, you're talking about the LA fire, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we had a small canyon fire up there in Bodega Canyon. And we also had a smaller brush fire, which went up the Barranca in the Dupree Ravine. And those two together, when you put you get the confluence of the Bodega Ravine, Dupree Ravine and the Bodega Canyon, and the two of them come together, now you got yourself a fire. Right. And so that's when L.A. County Fire come out. And when they come out with the Super Scooper, I come out the backyard, and my wife did too, and I said, well, I want to make sure they're doing the job right, because that border's right on the backside of my property, Mr. Henry. I don't know if you know about my property, but I got a southeast exposure down to Bodega Ravine, and it runs right on down the gully to the San Gabriel River. And from there, of course, it swoops right on up in the hillside there.
I'm not really familiar.
So you're over in the Corona area.
Yeah, but I'm telling Mr. Henry that once you go out the backside of my property, and I've got that well fenced, and there's demarcation lines, and you get over to Bodega Ravine, and then you move on down, and it swoops. You know,
what do you mean it swoops?
I mean, it comes down off the ravine and goes, it's almost like a slide, and it goes right on up, right on up in that hillside. That's when L.A. Fire come out.
Was there fire down in that ravine there?
Yeah, it was coming up the backside of that. See, it was coming up that hill toward my property is what I'm trying to say. And L.A. County Fire come out, and they were using some of the water out of that pond that I've got on the back quarter acre that I have. I got a good-sized pond, so they're scooping some of the water out of that because that was the closest large body of water. I think maybe there might be one other one. You can go over here to the Elsinore Reservoir, and then they went down and did the drop. Now, when they come back, I distinctly remember a young blonde-haired firefighter. I could see the L.A. Fire uniform on him, but he had the pants down, and he pressed on that. I mean, it was pressed ham all the way. It was a pressed ham for about 300 yards. Okay.
What do you mean it was a pressed ham for
Okay, I mean.
Well, Steve, you got to understand. These idiots are going to laugh.
I understand that, but that's my daughter we're talking about, sir.
Yes, sir. I recognize that. Okay, it's just the way you have of putting things. So your daughter was standing there with you.
April Jr.'s out there with her mother and my son, Steve Jr., all four of us. We're watching L.A. County Fire do their job, and we're very appreciative of the job they do. Now they come around. They've gotten done with Bodega Ravine, got done with Dupree Canyon. They're going to make a run over, I think, over there at Millipede Creek. I'm not sure, because the fire was starting to creep up the side there. And they're fighting it. Now they come back out, and I saw this blonde-haired young firefighter in the window of the Super Scooper plane, would be on the starboard side, and my wife clocked it, and I said about 300 yards from the back fence to the rear section of my home. That's about 300 yards of pressed ham on the window, and the reason I'm saying that because I had to be specific on that. My daughter's looking at that. It's 300 yards with one count: 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, 1,004. That's 4 full seconds of the bare ham. Or bare ass up on a window, just pressed on the glass. And that's when I went ahead and I said, you know, that enough's enough. And I went straight for my cell phone.
All right, so you made a complaint to L.A. Fire?
Yes, I did.
And what did they say?
They said they knew the young man in question. They said they were not aware of any ham. You know, they said, what do you mean by pressed ham? I said, I'm using the colloquial terms you understand. They said, we're not aware of any ham. Anything. I said, no, pressed ham.
Well, why are you using such an asinine term? Why don't you say that he indecently exposed himself to your daughter?
Because I wanted them to know the specific of it, of the butt getting pressed up on the glass.
All right. Well, you could have said that.
Okay, I could have said that. I said something else. God, man, what's the big deal? My daughter.
You're right, but I, you know, we're having a hard time here understanding some of the terms you're using. Not that I don't understand the terms, but I'm not exactly sure. So for 300 yards, you say your daughter is staring at some guy's ass pressed against the window of a Super Scooper aircraft that had just dropped water on a fire behind your house. Now, I don't know that he's... How do you know he wasn't just doing that to you as a joke?
Well, if it was intended to me, and I told him that, I said, if that's intended for me, and this guy's got he's got a full glass ass... Which is what I call, that's what we call it in Knoxville. When you press ham, that's glass, that's ass on the glass for 300 yards. I said, brother, all bets are off on that.
Yeah. Hold on, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
I'm just getting...
world famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. And Steve, thank you. I don't mean to give you a hard time. Steve Bozell is with us. I wanted to get a little bit more from you. All right, so we understand the fire and you know, whatever's going to happen there with LA Fire. It's a good thing they were on hand to put the fire out, though, right?
You know, I got no problem with the LA Fire and the job they do controlling fire and protecting our homes and everything. But when one has got full ass, you know.
Keep saying full ass.
I know what I'm saying. If a guy's got full ass, you know, on my, and my daughter is standing there and this guy's doing full, he's doing a full, you know, it's a full BA.
Okay. You know, I think, but, you know, maybe in the future you could just use terms like, you know, indecently exposing himself. But we don't know that that happened at all, do we?
Are you kidding me? I mean, I saw a guy press the ham.
God. Would you stop, please? We understand what you're saying, Steve.
I can't make myself understood unless I use the terminologies that I understand.
Do you understand what indecent exposure is?
Yes, sir.
Then why do you got to keep saying pressed ham?
Because that's what it was. I mean, I don't know any other way of saying it. Everybody I know knows what that, you know what that is. Ms. Gray, you know.
No, I don't know what pressed ham is. No, I don't. Now I do.
So, all right. So thank you for that. Now, this weekend, we've got the AFC Championship game. We have the NFC Championship game. Bud, you and Steve are going to be calling the action. I'd just like to go between the two of you. Steve, who do you see in the AFC Championship game winning?
Well, you got the Denver Broncos. You got the... New England Patriots. The Patriots are on the road. They play, have not played well on the road in playoffs. You got Peyton Manning with a lot to prove. But I want to tell you something about Peyton Manning. I've seen him do it to the pooch. You know what I'm saying, Bud?
Yeah, Peyton Manning throws picks at the end of football game like Grant took Richmond.
Yeah, no kidding. And
like Grant took Richmond.
Well, he does. So I think that, but the Patriots. Being on the road might give the Denver Broncos the edge they need. I think Peyton Manning got a lot. He's bringing a lot to the table here. I think he's got a lot to prove. I think he dogged it and did the pooch last year when he was with the in Indianapolis Colts. I think he put it to the pooch a number of times. And so if you're asking me who, because of the home team environment.
Would you get to it and make a pick, please?
Forget it.
Now, hey, Steve.
Oh, never mind.
Thanks a lot, Margaret.
Well, for God's sake, Phil, he's...
you know what, lady? I hope you meet Satan, and he says, room for one more.
Yeah, I'll bet you do.
That's right.
Steve, come on.
No, forget it. Forget it.
But what's your pick?
For what?
For the AFC game.
I'm going to go with a Denver Bronco because I think, and that's who I know Steve was going to pick, but Margaret, she messed that up.
I didn't mess up anything.
Yeah, you did. Get all. I'm going to go with a Denver Bronco.
Yeah, that's who I picked too.
Oh, so you're making the pick even though you're standing out in the hallway like a child.
That's right.
All right, so both you guys, now let's take the NFC Championship game, the San Francisco 49ers, Seattle Seahawks.
Well, it's kind of hard to pick against, but I'm going to go with the Seahawks in this one because they're going to be at home, and I think Pete Carroll is a better coach.
Really? You think Pete Carroll outcoaches Jim Harbaugh in this one?
Yeah.
Steve, wherever you are?
I want to say the 49ers because I think Colin Kaepernick.
And that, see, this is he doesn't get the name right.
Excuse me, but he's asking me a question.
Are you going to yell, or are you going to come in here and sit at the mic?
I'll yell it. I think Colin Kaepernick is going to do the do and the funky chicken, too. You watch me.
Watch you?
Yeah.
So you guys disagree on that. So Bud's picking the Seahawks, and Steve, you're going with the 49ers in the NFC title game. Both of these knuckleheads, and I say that with all due respect, both of them will be on hand to provide their commentary on Phil TV for both the AFC Championship and NFC Championship game. So join us on Phil TV and HD on Saturday and on Sunday as Steve and Bud hold forth here from the Henry Broadcast Center at El Pacifico. They'll be on Phil TV as they watch and comment on not just the game, but also the statistics, And if you guys ever get it figured out, that is.
Oh, my God. Frank was watching, and he said, you two clowns can't figure out that NFC, the NFL Game Center.
Yeah, we can. Got it figured out. It took a while, but I got it figured out.
Well, you guys are going to have to get a little bit quicker on the trigger on that thing. So anyway, that'll be this weekend on Phil TV in HD. Thank you very much, Steve.
Yeah, uh-huh.
What's, hey, Steve, why are you standing in the hallway?
I'm not going to be in there made fun of because I said pressed ham.
Well, I know what a pressed ham is.
All right, we're not talking about that anymore. So there you go. And, you know, I was going to mention, I was going to tell Nikki a story because we were listening to the Steve Miller Band. I was going to tell her why I hate the song Jungle Love by Steve Miller. I don't know if I'm going to have the time to do it, though.
Well, you've got a couple of minutes.
I was playing Fly Like an Eagle. She says, you know, I like all, yeah, I got a minute. I won't have it. It has to do with tonsillitis and my car running out of gas. And the middle of the night. It's 2 o'clock in the morning, and my car has run out of gas. I'm on my way over to a pharmacy to get a prescription filled that was, you know, that was given to me by the doctor.
Let's take a trip down Willow
Boulevard. All right, yeah. And anyway, and this was me. No, I'm kidding. So I run out of gas on my way to get this prescription. By the time I got to the pharmacy, my throat is on fire from tonsillitis. It's 2 a.m. I walk into the pharmacy, and they're playing Jungle Love by the Steve Miller Band. Well, naturally, I hated it, and I've hated it ever since. I'm Phil Hendry.
The Phil Hendry Show is brought to you by philhendryshow.com. And the Phil Hendry online store. Get a t-shirt or a hat or some damn thing.